Oh, hey, Laurel.
Well, hey, John.
You know, it's Friday, time for a podcast, and I feel like we just need to talk about the big news this week. Republican Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner's decision to retire from Congress.
Yeah, he's stepping down after more than 4 decades representing the 5th Congressional District. It's a pretty big deal.
You know, it just seems like it leaves this gaping pit in Wisconsin's Republican landscape.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really important area for Republicans in Wisconsin, and it's kind of set off this, like, electoral chaos.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
Oh, hey there, Peter Baelish, fictional character from HBO's acclaimed TV drama Game of Thrones.
Many who try to climb it fail, never get to try again. The fall breaks them. Some are given a chance to climb, but they refuse. They cling to the realm, or the gods, or love, illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is.
Yeah, you know, I think that's about right.
Yep, pretty much sums it up. Well, let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about climbing the ladder to Congress. Okay, so just to clarify right off the top here, we're not comparing anybody who's contemplating a run for Congress to, you know, a murderous, traitorous, fictional TV show character. Turns out Littlefinger, not really the greatest guy.
Right. He was more like expounding on the people that climb the ladder, though.
Yeah, but he definitely wanted to climb it himself, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll refrain from any spoilers in terms of whether he gets to the top or not.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that show, full of conflict and people struggling for power. Mm-hmm. And now that Jim Sensenbrenner has announced that he is stepping down from Congress after 42 years, it's sort of setting off a fair bit of chaos that we think we're going to be seeing in the next, you know, several months.
Yeah, you know, I feel like since we're kind of already in a Game of Thrones theme for a little bit, I feel like there is kind of a comparison that can be made to the importance of this particular district to Wisconsin Republicans and King's Landing in Game of Thrones. Like, this is a district that is kind of the, you know, they call King's Landing like the seat of the king. This is kind of the seat of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. It's got the kind of the stronghold counties that we talk a lot about when we talk about Wisconsin Republicans, the Washington, Waukesha County kind of area. It's got some other counties in there as well. But this is really sort of the place where Wisconsin Republicans, you know, find their strength.
Yeah, exactly. So since this is sort of such a Republican stronghold, it's sort of leaving the door open or propping up the ladder for a lot of Republicans with ambitions in the area, with ties to the area, who might want to be climbing up. There's not necessarily an heir apparent here.
That's right. I mean, this is the area that has sort of, all I can think of is spawned, which is not a very nice word. Built, grown,
birthed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A lot of really powerful Wisconsin Republicans. You know, this is the area that Scott Walker is from. This is the area that State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald represents. So there's certainly no shortage of Wisconsin Republicans that have a lot of name recognition or that have held leadership positions that are coming from here. And this is something, you know, as we've talked to some candidates and gotten a little bit of a sense of who's in and who's out, a number of people have said, we've been waiting for this for a while. You know, a lot of people have kind of been waiting for Sensenbrenner to retire. He's obviously been in office for a long time. So this is a process that I think a lot of people have been looking toward for several decades, really.
Before we sort of get into who has maybe said, you know, I might be running or I'm thinking about running, you probably noticed that Sean Johnson is not here this week. He's off, but, you know, he can still maybe provide some of that historical context about Jim Sensenbrenner. So we'll just play this little clip of Sean talking earlier this week on WPR's Central Time about Jim Sensenbrenner and, you know, some of his background and his record and such.
It is, yeah, it's hard for us to kind of sum up his career in Congress because it, it goes back 40 years.
Yeah, we were talking, the Iran hostage crisis was erupting as, you know, soon after he came into office, for example.
Yeah, I mean, life in the 70s was a little bit different when he began office. And he'd been in the state legislature, by the way, for, you know, about 10 years before mm-hmm. that. So a long career in government for Jim Sensenbrenner. You know, just looking back through some of the coverage of Jim Sensenbrenner over the years, stories highlight some of his big bills, like he was the lead author on the Patriot Act. He was took a lead role in the impeachment proceedings with President Bill Clinton. And, you know, in a lot of the coverage of Jim Sensenbrenner, it focuses on his personality, you know, kind of his tendencies. I was looking at one July 2006 article in the New York Times. Headline is Pit Bull of the House Latches On to Immigration. And, I mean, they use a variety of words to describe Sensenbrenner in that article. Not the reporter, but his friends called him prickly, cantankerous, unpleasant, idiosyncratic, and pit bull. And these are Republicans who are saying, yeah, he's pretty tough. You know, that's the reputation of Sensenbrenner, is that he's not going to back down on anything and not necessarily going to bend to leadership if he really gets his mind set on an issue. And I think you could see that at the state level, too, in Wisconsin. I mean, Sensenbrenner could sometimes, I mean, I don't want to say always, but he would sort of set the lead for where Wisconsin Republicans are going to go on an issue or a difficult situation. I'm thinking about, like, President Donald Trump in 2016. A lot of Wisconsin Republicans were not loving Trump at the time. And Sensenbrenner came out and said, look, he won fair and square. And if you don't vote for him, you're going to be casting a vote for Hillary Clinton, essentially. And that became the mantra for Wisconsin Republicans over the next few months.
Well, good job with that past, Sean. You really laid everything out for us. Did a good job there.
Yeah, we're more of the forward-looking young millennials. Sean has the context for us on the tenure of this dean of the Wisconsin congressional delegation. So thanks, past Sean. I feel like the past Sean segments could become a thing in episodes that he's gone. We've got future John and past Sean.
All right. So then looking forward, sort of, I mean, there is at least one Democrat who's declared for this race so far, and I'm not sure there are any Republicans who have, as of recording, actually jumped into the race officially. But it's, you know, a very conservative district, probably not going out too far on a limb to say that, you know, the primary for this election is going to be pretty important, because there's a good likelihood that a Republican will take this seat. Who have we sort of, you know, heard some grumblings or, you know, leanings from, I don't know what I'm saying, but who have we heard a little bit of inklings of something from so far?
So we've heard from several people. I think folks might be familiar with two U.S. Senate candidates that we recently heard quite a bit from. U.S. Senate candidate Leah Vukmir, who was actually a state senator for quite a while, she said that she is strongly considering getting into the race. There's also been some chatter about her opponent in that Republican Senate primary, Kevin Nicholson. He has been a little bit more, I guess, coy about whether or not he's thinking about it. He kind of put out a statement praising Sensenbrenner, as you know, everybody considering the race has done. But he said, you know, there's going to be a future announcement. You know, we don't need to say whether or not we're getting in this race right now. So I would sort of classify him on the spectrum of, like, seriously considering to being coy, kind of more on the coy end of things. We also have State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who has been the Majority Leader of the State Senate for, I think, 12 years now, so quite a while. He's somebody that is really well known in that area. And he says that he is seriously weighing, heavily weighing. It's so fun. I was writing the story for this yesterday, and there are only so many ways to say considering a bid, mm-hmm. but I tried to get all of them in, like contemplating getting in the race, weighing a potential challenge. I remember Fitzgerald in his statement, he used weighing. So yeah, but he's I think more on the serious end of the spectrum, if we're kind of doing that spectrum. We've also heard from Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow that he's thinking about getting in the race. A couple state senators, Senator Dale Coinga and Senator Dale Kapinga.
Chris Kapinga.
You know, it's actually kind of funny. As I was saying their names, I was thinking about how those two often get mixed up mm-hmm. by people because they're from a similar part of the state.
And their last names sound kind of similar.
Yep, Coinga, Kapinga. And,
but their first names sound nothing alike. Chris... But wouldn't it be funny if we just called them the Dales?
The Dales. Senator Dales. Yeah, I have another tangent to do with them later, but I'll finish getting through this list and then go on my tangent. So look forward to that. We have a state representative. Representative Adam Nealon says that he's considering getting in the race. A Republican aide, actually the spokesman for Senator Ron Johnson, Ben Volkel, is talking about getting in the race. And then we got some late breaking news kind of after there'd been discussions of all these folks that Governor Scott Walker's son, Matt Walker, is thinking about getting in the race as well.
Yeah, wasn't there a tweet from Journal Sentinel reporter Molly Beck saying that sources close to Matt Walker were saying that he's mm-hmm. weighing that? We don't necessarily have any confirmation as of yet.
Exactly. We haven't gotten a statement from Matt Walker himself, but that is kind of how these things evolve. You know, we obviously have statements from certain people. I've talked about, you know, like Vukmir having a statement, Fitzgerald having the statement. But other times it's just sort of behind the scenes murmurings of, you know, a source close to says, and that's kind of how these mm-hmm. things start.
With this breaking future news bulletin, I'm Future John. As of Friday afternoon, there are still no official Republican announcements regarding the 5th District. But former Republican Governor Scott Walker confirmed that his son, Matt Walker, is considering a bid. The elder Walker told WISN-TV in an interview that his son has, quote, had a number of people reach out to him about running. Walker also tweeted in part Friday, "My son, @MattWalkerWI, is also considering a run. He believes there needs to be a counter from his generation to @AOC. That last one being a reference to New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, an outspoken progressive. From the future, I'm Future John.
Not to venture too far into the world of wild speculation here, but at this point, do you have any sense sort of who might be, you know, considered a front runner here? You know, we've said there's no like heir apparent necessarily, but do you feel like some people, at least, you know, based on what we know now and who's said they might be interested, you know, has sort of a good chance of coming out of that primary?
I think it's really, really hard to say. I mean, I think that people like Vukmir and Nicholson, who have run those kind of statewide campaigns before, definitely have, you know, a different set of skills that they've deployed recently mm-hmm. and things like that. And then Fitzgerald, obviously, is somebody who has had this in the back of their mind for a while and has kind of a campaign apparatus probably that's been preparing for this or at least considering this for a bit. So these are all things that have to be taken into account, but you just never know. I mean, these things can be pretty fast moving and pretty, I don't know, dynamic maybe is the word.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to imagine that, you know, opportunities like this don't come along very often. I mean, Sensenbrenner was in there like 4 decades, and yeah, people have known he's probably getting toward the end of his career at some point. And so it must be like really tough to like weigh this decision, like this is my one shot, my one opportunity.
Right. They're not throwing away their shot, as Lin-Manuel Miranda would say.
See, I was quoting Eminem, actually. You just jumped right to Hamilton, but I'm thinking
my brain always goes 8 Mile here. Yeah. Well, I think either one works. Mm-hmm. But I think that's definitely part of the calculation of saying whether you're considering this race, because it is something that I think people expect, you know, someone who gets in this seat because it's a pretty safe seat, mm-hmm. for Republicans, it's seen that way. Somebody who's elected in there now could have the potential of being another Sensenbrenner and being there for multiple decades. Mm-hmm. So if you sort of don't take the chance right now, when is this window going to open again? When is the ladder going to descend again for you to try to climb it? You know, it could be quite a while. And so if you don't at least say you're considering throwing your hat into the ring, how seriously are you seen in that area? You know, are you seen as somebody who wants to advance, you know, try different offices, keep running for things, maybe go for a national office at some point? It's almost kind of a sign of who's ambitious in the area, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. People who are invested in continuing to grow their political career, and whether or not they think that they're a front runner this time around, or how they necessarily compare to the other candidates. They just want to kind of tip their hat and say, like, I'm somebody who's here and serious about representing this area in one way or another.
So I'm thinking, before we do entirely nothing but 5th District coverage for this podcast, it's worth mentioning that even though it's kind of old news in the news cycle at this point, last week we had another Wisconsin congressman say that he is stepping down from Congress. That, of course, is Republican Sean Duffy, who said he's going to retire this month from the 7th District, mm-hmm. up in, you know, some central and much of northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, I feel like we have to show the 7th District some love, as we're talking so much about the 5th District in this podcast. And I think, for the record, we are going to have a longer discussion about the 7th District. We have reasons for holding back our in-depth analysis on that one. But I think it's really interesting. I mean, it's kind of incredible that we've had these two pretty unexpected, to a certain extent, announcements back to back, just and how different they are. I mean, I think the Sean Duffy announcement came as a pretty big surprise, even to party insiders. People, as we've talked about, were kind of expecting Sensenbrenner to retire at some point. I think after, you know, serving in office for 40 years, mm-hmm. people think, like, mm-hmm. he's got to retire at some point. Sean Duffy was somebody who I think a lot of people thought had many years ahead of him in that seat, pretty young guy. But these districts are so different, and the circumstances are so different. You know, like we've talked about, there were kind of people lining up for this 5th District for Sensenbrenner. In the 7th District, because there wasn't that kind of same level of anticipation, the field isn't as crowded. I think also kind of the makeup of that district makes it a little bit more interesting in terms of kind of party dynamics. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really fascinating to see these two areas of Wisconsin, both held by Republicans right now, and just kind of how this moves forward in terms of the different candidates that are put forward, kind of the debates that happen between the two parties going forward, and just the fact that we are so lucky in the state of Wisconsin to have two congressional races and a presidential race, and to be considered, you know, kind of an important, all I can think of is hingy.
Like a swing state? I was thinking bellwether.
Yeah.
Is the term I've heard bandied about all over the place.
Yeah. I'm not even thinking swing state. I'm thinking, I guess a lot of people have said,
Like a fulcrum?
Yeah. A lot of people have said the election sort of rests on Wisconsin, you know, like it's going to turn at that point, whatever Wisconsin does in the presidential.
Like a teeter-totter, like, and we're the rusty pipe
in the middle. Right. Very, very romantic way to think about it. But yeah, so we can go back to the 5th now, but I wanted to kind of mention some of those contextual, I think, kind of interesting things about the 7th.
Ooh, I got something I want to bring up, and I promise it's relevant a little bit. So even though this week the latest Marquette University Law School poll came out earlier in the day on Wednesday than when Sensenbrenner announced that he was going to retire, I feel like there's a little bit of relevant information in the poll, and we just can't help ourselves talking about polls, especially the Marquette poll. But one thing was that there was some numbers about voters and name recognition of Scott Fitzgerald in particular, and how there was a big chunk of people that didn't know who he was.
Yeah. So I think that this is interesting as we talk about kind of, you asked me before, who's seen as a front runner or who has different advantages. And we do talk about Senator Fitzgerald and having this leadership role in the legislature for quite a while and kind of having that additional oomph behind his candidacy maybe. Well, according to the Marquette poll, even though the senator has had this leadership role for quite a while, 49% of people surveyed don't know who he is. So I think that's an interesting kind of nugget to take into account. Now, obviously that's statewide and he's not running for a statewide office. Mm-hmm. He's just running for, or would be running for.
We have to couch everything.
Right.
And
right, exactly. We don't know if he's going to do it or not. So really what's much more important would be sort of his recognition in the 5th Congressional District than rather than statewide. But I think it is kind of an interesting thing to note just in terms of, you know, how well known are some of these characters going into a race of national importance.
And it just goes to show that even though we in, you know, the politics media think that everybody reads our stories and knows everything that we cover, there's actually a lot of the general public out there that doesn't read our stories and don't know who these these giants of our professional lives are
that we
write about all the time.
How does everybody not know? And I think we were talking about this before off mic, but I think another kind of reporter problem to take into account for this race is just there are some difficult names in this lineup of people in terms of pronouncing the names.
Oh, you mean Matt Walker?
Matt Walker.
That
right.
One's really
Kevin
difficult
Nicholson,
to pronounce.
Scott Fitzgerald. No, there are some others that when I was writing out copy for one of our hosts and writing the pronouncers in, I realized how many pronouncers I had to do. Some of these names, Leah Vukmir, for example, when she was running for U.S. Senate, I remember this being a consistent problem for people. I remember at the Republican convention, the state Republican convention, where they talk about and they vote who they're going to support as the party. There were different groups come up to the mic and say who they're casting their vote for the endorsements. Mm-hmm. And when people would go up and say Vukmir's name, there really was a gamut of how it was pronounced. Vukmir. Vukmir, you know, just kind of, it's a challenging name. It's not one that you hear every day. So we obviously have her in there, but then Senator Dale Coinga, I feel like even within the legislature, his colleagues where he's served as a member of the assembly and now the Senate have a horrible time pronouncing his name. It's spelled Coyenga or Kuyenga. Mm-hmm. We hear it pronounced either of those ways, rarely Coinga.
Doesn't he say like it's like a coin or something?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, you very, very rarely hear people pronounce that correctly. Senator Kapinga.
Mm-hmm, the other Dale.
The other Dale. Chris Kapinga. Kapinga, you know, that's a tough one. Also, a state representative who's considered, who says he's considering getting into the race, Adam Nealon, spelled, you could say it nylon, you could say it Nalen. So it's just challenging for reporters covering it. And certainly I'm sure people that are going to start seeing these names in news articles and maybe in polls and talking about these candidates and kind of weighing their options. They're like, I like that one guy, but I don't know how to say his name.
We're just really scraping the bottom of the barrel here for radio journalist problems.
It's a very niche problem, but I want people to know my pain.
We're here for you, Laurel. It's okay. We
Thanks,
got
John.
Your back.
Thanks, John.
Just keep writing about Mr. Nylon. You're good.
Neelan.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's about it. All we have for now. Laurel White is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief.
Thanks for the promotion.
Mm-hmm. No, Laurel White is WPR's Capital Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Whether your name is Dale or your name is Dale, you're sure to find something you'll enjoy when you subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, why not leave a rating or a review? You can also find the show on Google Play and on Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps, and you can catch up on all of those past episodes whenever the time is right for you by going to wpr.org/politics.